Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into a really timely issue, how automation and artificial intelligence are changing the world of work.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
You want to understand what's happening without getting lost in, all the technical jargon, right?
Yeah,
We've got you covered.
exactly. And to get a clear picture, we've looked at quite a range of sources. That includes surveys of recent research, stuff on automation and employment, articles looking at AI's impact on jobs, the H-1B visa discussions, the port worker strike.
Right, real world stuff.
Definitely. And we're also pulling from a historical study on Sweden's electricity adoption, a call for chapters for a book on reskilling for AI, plus predictions about job losses, and even arguments that AI might, well, create more jobs eventually. Quite a mix.
So our mission here is basically to cut through all that noise, pull out the key insights about how automation and AI are really affecting jobs, both directly and indirectly. We'll look at historical parallels, the debates happening now, and what might be coming down the track. Okay, let's unpack this.
Let's start with the big question.
Sure.
What's the research actually telling us about automation and jobs? The literature we looked at, it really presents two main views.
Okay.
One view, the more cautious one, suggests automation mainly gets rid of jobs and could push wages down.
Oh, right, that classic fear. It's not new, is it? Like Keynes worried about this ages ago.
Exactly, the technological unemployment anxiety. But the research also points somewhere else, and this view seems to have more recent backing, especially like from French company Data.
Oh, interesting. What's that alternative view?
Well, it focuses on something called the market size effect. The basic idea is companies automate, they get more efficient.
Makes sense.
That efficiency can mean lower costs, so they can lower prices. Lower prices can boost demand for what they make or sell.
Ah, so more demand means.
They might actually need to hire more people to keep up.
So it flips the script a bit. It's not just robots replacing people, but automation driving growth that creates new roles.
Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
Now, the research does mention this business stealing thing.
What's that?
Well, automating firms might gain market share from competitors who don't automate, which could hurt jobs at those other firms. But the studies generally find the positive effect within the automating firm tends to be stronger.
Got it. So at the company level, automation often looks like a net positive for jobs there, even if competitors feel the pinch.
That seems to be the trend in a lot of the firm-level data, yeah.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me. Even if automation does cause some job displacement initially, are there like built-in economic forces that might stop mass unemployment from happening?
Yes, absolutely. Our sources point to a few key counteracting forces. One big model from Massimo Glue and Restrepo suggests something pretty counterintuitive.
Go on.
If automation goes too far too fast and labor costs drop a lot, that very drop makes labor cheaper, which then encourages people to invent totally new tasks, things that weren't worth doing before, but now make economic sense because labor is cheap.
Wow, okay. So job losses in one area could actually trigger job creation in another completely new area, like the economy rebalancing itself.
That's the core idea. And then there's this other concept, the Baumol cost disease effect.
Sounds ominous.
Yeah, the name's a bit much. But the idea, explained by Agian, Jones, and Jones, is pretty logical when you think about it. Consider services that need a human touch, haircuts, live music, therapy.
Things hard to automate.
Exactly. As other parts of the economy get super efficient with automation, the relative cost of these human-centric services can actually go up,
Go on.
because the labor needed for them becomes scarcer compared to the now abundant automated capital. This helps stop wages from just collapsing everywhere because human skills in these areas remain essential and, relatively speaking, more valuable.
So automation in factories might indirectly make hairdressers or musicians relatively more valuable because their skills aren't easily replaced.
That's the gist. Economists even model this mathematically. It boils down to this. Automation might initially make capital, machines seem more important than labor.
Right.
But those machines often need people to design, build, run, maintain them. And the tasks that can't be automated still need people. So labor overall might not become obsolete. It just shifts.
Yeah.
And its scarcity in certain areas can keep its value up. There are these offsetting effects.
Okay, the theoretical stuff is fascinating, but what about the real world? What are the actual studies finding? You mentioned mixed results earlier.
You're right. It's definitely not a simple picture. When you look at the big aggregate studies, the ones looking at whole countries or industries using things like robot adoption numbers,
What do they show?
well, it's patchy. Some research like Acemoglu and Restrepo's work on the U.S. or studies in France do find evidence linking automation to job displacement in certain areas or time periods.
So confirming some of those fears.
Yes. But then you have other studies, say in Germany or looking across multiple European countries, that find basically no negative effect, or sometimes even a positive link between using robots and overall employment.
Huh. Why the difference?
It could be lots of things. Different economies, different policies, different ways of measuring automation. Even using patent data as a proxy for automation leads to conflicting results sometimes.
So the big picture is kind of blurry. What about zooming in on individual companies again? You said that was more consistent.
That's right. When researchers look specifically at what happens inside the firms that adopt automation, the findings across many countries, France, the U.S., U.K., Canada, Denmark, Spain, tend to point in the same direction.
Which is
a direct positive link between that firm automating and its own employment level.
That's a really crucial point. So the companies actually doing the automating often end up hiring more people. How does that work?
Well, the studies suggest a couple of reasons. Maybe they're creating new roles because they're growing, capturing more market share thanks to their efficiency.
Right.
Or it could be that they have lower separation rates, basically. Fewer people leave or get laid off compared to non-automating firms.
And what about wages in those firms?
Importantly, these firm-level studies generally don't find evidence that wages are falling or that labor's overall share of the pie is shrinking within those specific companies.
Okay.
This kind of backs up the idea that, at least at the firm level, automation boosts productivity, which can support both more jobs and potentially stable or even better wages for that firm.
But you still have that potential business stealing effect.
Exactly. The gains in automating firms might come partly at the expense of their competitors, who are slower to adapt. So displacement can still happen across firms, even if the automating ones are growing.
Okay, so bringing it to today, how does the current AI explosion fit into this picture? It feels like the same debate, but maybe amplified.
It absolutely feels like an echo, yeah. Mm-hmm. The anxieties about AI wiping out jobs are very similar to past automation fears. And there's some early research emerging. One working paper suggested firms adopting AI tend to grow.
Good news.
But it also pointed towards increased industry concentration, meaning maybe a few big AI-powered companies get much bigger, potentially squeezing out smaller players.
And we're seeing this tension erupt in real time, aren't we? That port worker situation in the U.S. back in October 2024 seemed like a perfect example.
Absolutely. That potential strike, tens of thousands of dock workers on the East and Gulf coasts. It really threw the fear of AI-driven automation displacing jobs into sharp relief.
What were the key issues there?
Well, you had the union pushing hard for better pay, but also for real limits on implementing automation. On the other side, the port operators are obviously looking at AI and automation for efficiency gains, cost savings.
That's a conflict.
Exactly. And the potential economic chaos from a major strike just shows how high the stakes are. It really reminded people of the big strike back in 1977 against containerization. Same industry, different technology, similar fight.
And it's not just dock workers. We keep seeing headlines predicting job losses across so many sectors, transport, retail, healthcare, law, finance, you name it.
For sure. Researchers like Harry Holzer talk about this automation unemployment as a real global challenge. And you see data, like from the ILO, showing labor share of income shrinking in many developed countries, which feeds those concerns.
It suggests the benefits of technology might not be spreading evenly.
That's certainly one interpretation of that trend, yeah.
Yeah.
The gains might be concentrated more towards capital or highly skilled labor.
Let's pivot slightly. There was that interesting Reddit discussion you mentioned, linking tech layoffs, automation, and the H-1B visa program. What was the vibe there?
Oh, yeah. That thread was pretty heated. It really captured a lot of the anxieties people feel. One strong argument was basically, if big tech firms are laying off thousands of Americans, how can we justify bringing in foreign workers on H-1B visas?
The Americans first argument.
Right. And tied to that was this suspicion, voiced by some, that maybe H-1B workers are sometimes hired because they're cheaper, undercutting domestic wages.
Okay, but were there counterarguments?
Definitely. Others pointed out that, look, tech layoffs, while significant, don't represent the entire economy. There's still huge demand for specialized skills in many other areas.
Mm-hmm.
And they argued that H-1B visas are supposed to fill genuine skill gaps, jobs where companies can't find qualified Americans.
Right.
There was also debate about whether H-1B workers are actually cheaper. Some claimed yes, maybe 20% less in some cases. Others disputed that number or stressed the legal rules about paying prevailing wages and trying to hire citizens first.
So a real back and forth on skills gaps versus potential exploitation or displacement.
Exactly. It highlighted that complex interplay between immigration policy, labor market needs, company incentives, and, you know, national economic concerns.
Let's jump back in time again. That study on early 20th century Sweden and electricity adoption, you said it offers a useful historical lens.
Yeah, it's a really neat study. It looks at how rolling out the electric grid, specifically this big state-sponsored power line, impacted labor relations, like strikes, at the local level.
How did they isolate the effect of electricity?
They cleverly used the specific path of the grid rollout, which wasn't necessarily tied to where industries were already booming. This helped them separate the impact of getting electricity from other factors that might have been causing changes.
Smart. So what happened when the lights came on, so to speak? Did workers immediately start protesting against machines taking their jobs?
Well, they found that electricity access was followed by an increase in strikes. But, and this is the key part, these were mostly offensive strikes.
Meaning
workers weren't striking against the technology or job losses. They were striking for better conditions, higher wages, improved hours. And these strikes were most common in sectors where labor demand was actually increasing thanks to electrification.
Whoa. So electricity didn't just bring light, it brought bargaining power, especially in growing industries.
That's exactly what the evidence suggests. In those expanding sectors, electrification seems to have strengthened workers' hands, enabling them to demand a bigger slice of the pie created by the new technology. The study explicitly noted that strikes aimed at resisting mechanization were actually incredibly rare.
That really contrasts with some of the AI anxiety today. Did it affect all sectors equally?
No, it didn't. They found a big jump in strikes in industry and services, but not really in agriculture.
Interesting.
Which again supports the idea that it was workers in sectors benefiting from the tech where labor was in demand who felt empowered to strike for better terms. They also found strikes increased more in areas that were already somewhat industrialized before electricity arrived.
Why would that be?
The thinking is firms in those areas maybe had fewer options to just hire replacement workers from the surrounding countryside, so they found it harder to fight off the strikes.
So the Swedish example suggests technological change can cause conflict, but it might be more about workers leveraging new conditions for gain rather than just fearing replacement, especially where the tech boosts demand for their skills.
It's a really valuable historical perspective, yeah. Shows how the impact isn't predetermined and depends a lot on the economic context, particularly labor demand.
Okay, shifting focus to the future now. That call for chapters on reskilling and upskilling for the AI era sounds spot on. What's the main push there?
Yeah, it really highlights how urgent it is for everyone, individuals, companies, schools, to adapt. AI is changing things fast in automation, data analysis, you name it.
So we need to keep learning.
Absolutely. The book aims to be a practical guide. It talks about reskilling, learning totally new capabilities, and upskilling, boosting the skills you already have. Both are seen as essential for navigating this transformation. It's about lifelong learning, really.
What kind of practical stuff are they hoping to cover?
Things like, how do we even predict what skills will be needed? How do we design training programs that actually work? And how can we use tech, including AI itself, to personalize learning and make it more effective?
AI teaching us how to cope with AI.
Interesting.
Kind of, yeah. It'll look at different industries, healthcare, manufacturing, education, finance, because the needs will vary.
And it's looking globally too, right? Not just one country's perspective.
Yes, definitely. Comparing strategies in developed versus emerging economies, looking at how governments can help, how different cultures might approach it. It's meant to be quite broad.
And those case studies, Siemens, Google, Coursera, Microsoft, should offer some real-world examples of what companies are trying.
Exactly. Seeing how major players are tackling lifelong learning and using AI for staff development will be really insightful. The fact that they're putting this book together now just shows how top of mind this whole reskilling issue is.
Okay, finally, let's touch on those predictions. The Forbes article, other forecasts. What's the general consensus, if there is one, on which jobs might be most affected by AI and when? Well, consensus is maybe too strong a word. The estimates vary quite a bit. You see figures from PwC, McKinsey, the World Economic Forum, some suggesting maybe like 60% of jobs could see significant changes by 2050. But there's broad agreement that the impact will be huge.
And in the nearer term, which jobs seem most vulnerable?
The ones that pop up repeatedly are those heavy on repetitive data tasks. Think data entry, scheduling, a lot of basic customer service roles that chatbots can handle, bookkeeping, some kinds of basic data analysis, but also increasingly tasks we might have thought were safer paralegal work, doing document review, drafting standard contracts, legal research, even some graphic design, copywriting, and basic news reporting.
So it's creeping into more knowledge work areas.
It seems so. Even for tech jobs like software development or data science, the thinking is AI will boost productivity, sure, but it will also likely automate a lot of the routine coding or analysis tasks.
Are any jobs considered relatively safe?
The ones usually cited are those needing lots of empathy and complex human interaction, nursing, therapy, social work. Also, teaching, especially in nuanced fields, and high-level strategic management. Roles where adaptability, emotional intelligence, and, you know, that human touch are paramount.
And it's not just academics saying this, right? You mentioned that some big names in finance are sounding warnings.
Yeah, people like Ray Dalio, Larry Fink, Jamie Dimon, leaders in the financial world have been pretty vocal about anticipating significant job displacement, particularly in white-collar roles, over the next decade or two. They see major restructuring coming.
Okay, that's the more pessimistic take. But you also mentioned the MorphPass article suggesting AI might actually create jobs in the long run.
Right, that's the counter-argument. It draws that parallel with past tech revolutions, the steam engine, electricity, computers. Often there's an initial dip, job losses, disruption.
The painful part.
Yes. But then new industries emerge. Productivity gains create new wealth and demand. And eventually, more jobs are created than were lost. They call it the J-curve effect goes down before it goes way up.
How might AI specifically lead to new jobs, not just changing old ones?
Well, the article gives examples of AI complementing human work, helping create new kinds of digital content, making manufacturing or software development way more productive, maybe reshaping journalism or design into roles where humans guide AI tools. Think AI-driven analytics creating new roles in finance or AI handling inventory while humans focus on customer experience in retail.
So augmenting rather than just replacing.
That's the optimistic view, especially in fields like healthcare. MorphCast, for instance, talks about their emotion AI platform not replacing therapists, but giving them deeper data-driven insights during video sessions to enhance their assessment. The idea is AI handles data analysis, freeing up humans for judgment, empathy, and complex problem solving.
Okay, so wrapping this all up, we've gone from historical examples to firm-level data, current strikes, future predictions. What's the main takeaway?
I think the biggest takeaway is that it's complicated. There's no single simple answer to whether automation and AI are good or bad for jobs.
Right.
History shows disruption, but also adaptation. Firm-level data often shows growth within automating companies, even if there's displacement elsewhere. Fears of job loss are real, we see them playing out, but there are also these potential counteracting forces and arguments for long-term job creation.
And the future seems heavily dependent on adaptation.
Exactly. The need for reskilling and upskilling comes through loud and clear. The nature of work is definitely changing, and navigating that successfully seems key. AI is both a driver of that change and potentially a tool to help us adapt.
So considering all these different angles, the historical echoes, the economic theories, the current anxieties, the future possibilities, here's a final thought for you, the listener. What proactive steps can you take, maybe personally, maybe in your workplace or community, to navigate this shift? How do we ensure that these powerful technologies boost productivity, sure, but also genuinely benefit people? It feels like finding that balance between efficiency and the human element is the critical challenge ahead.
It really is the central question we need to grapple with.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.